Well, once again, it's our Christmas time of the year, and as I've done every year for the last several years now, teach about a six-week series on the birth of Christ. I don't think it's something that we leave to a 20-minute sermon on Sunday, the day of Christmas. There's just so much to it, as we've seen over the last several weeks, and honestly, several misnomers that I grew up knowing a different way, and probably you did too. Things that the Bible says is not what we say nowadays. I talked a couple of weeks ago on the Tower of the Flock. I feel strongly that Jesus Christ was probably born where the Levitican priest birthed the sacrificial lambs. It makes more sense than just in some stable out back. It just makes more sense. There was more protection there. The Scriptures allude to that the tower was a safe place. And I'll tell you that all the way down through time, Satan has tried to end the lineage of Jesus Christ. I grew up, the manger, the stable, the donkeys, the horses, all the nasty mess around, based on one word mentioned three times in the book of Luke, a manger. And it just, it doesn't hold to make sense. Next week we're going to talk about the three wise men. Thank you. I've seen that I don't know how many times this time of my studying, of seeing, well, there were three wise men. There were only three wise men. I heard last night there were seven. There was some blog that said seven, and the guy said, no, that was the dwarfs. I get that confused too. Read your Bible. I don't know where they come up with seven, but anyway, well, that's a good point. We do understand that through deduction, we come up with a lot of this stuff. We deduce that they gave frankincense, gold, and myrrh. One, two, three. Each of them must have had that representation. When I think the Old Testament alludes to that there were probably quite many more. I don't know how many more. There's questions that I still have that arise. If they brought treasures for a king, and they did, the Scripture tells us that, how much treasure for a king? I'll tell you that when the Queen of Sheba came and visited Solomon, she gave him equivalent to billions of dollars. And he just said, just throw it over there with the rest of the stuff. Because he was the richest man in the world. If they brought that, they didn't spend the money very thriftily. I know they went down to Egypt, but you see what I mean? He still ended up a poor carpenter's son, stepson, okay? There's things that I still don't understand. The text itself says that some of the Scripture is hard. Some of it's hard to understand. Somebody explain to me Ephesians chapter 5. That's hard. It's difficult. Is there grace or not? But I think if we just take the words and quit trying to deduce down, we'll see that the wise men came and visited a young child in a house. It wasn't a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That's important. The Scripture, it's important. We get the Acts and Facts from the Creation Museum over in our research center over in Dallas. And y'all know this grinds on me. Here they are. This is the article. I love Mark Twain. They have a quote from Mark Twain to open it. Mark Twain said, "The difference between the almost right word and the right word is really a large matter." The difference between the almost right word and the right word is a large matter. It's the difference between the lightning bug and lightning. Makes sense. That was the opening to their article where they have the three wise men at the manger. Drives me nuts. Babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. 1, 2, 3. There's the gifts. The difference is quite substantial. But this week I want us to talk about the gifts. We've gotten into a society of gift giving. And really, it's fun. Man, I'm telling you, I get into it with my kids. My kids are 24 and 18. And I'm going to get them this time again. It's just what I do. I'll put presents in heavy boxes. It's just what I do. And I get them every time. The daughter's the funnest one to get because she's smarter than all of us. She thinks. It's fun to give gifts. You know, you see all those presents under the tree. But again, let's talk about wording. A present is just what it is. You present something, okay? That's where we get the word. It doesn't become a gift until someone takes it. God gave us a gift. It's not a gift until someone takes it. The wise men came from afar, and again, we'll really get into infinite detail of them next week. Based again, Matthew is the only gospel that gives us any account of the wise men coming. And through all of that, we have at most churches in the Metroplex in America a nativity scene. Some are live nativity scenes. Some are the little plastic guys. But all of them's got the wise men there. Churches. Kurt, it drives me nuts. I can't help it. It just ruins Christmas for me. Sort of. Yeah, sort of. So after we pray the gifts that were presented to the Christ child. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, through your word that we diligently seek the truth. Lord, that we see that Lord, every word in your word, Lord, is meant to be there. Lord, there's a purpose for it. Lord, that if we just read it and read it for its face value, that we would have understanding. Lord, we know there's deeper meanings. Lord, help us to see those as well. And Lord, to peel back some of the layers and Lord, see what's presented. Lord, that all the prophecy was fulfilled. Lord, that it was your Son that you sent, Lord, to pay for the sins of the world. Father, again, just through your Spirit, Lord, I pray that you teach us. Lord, help us to understand that we would be able to go out and tell our family and our friends and our loved ones, Lord, at this time of year, that the greatest gift was you sending Christ. We ask these things in His name. Amen. Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. I've enjoyed this time of the season of teaching the coming of the Messiah sent to Bethlehem. We do the same thing for Easter. There are so many parallels going on. In Jerusalem, at the time of the crucifixion, that we just can't do it on one Sunday. We usually tell real quick of the agony of the cross, the burial in the tomb, but Sunday's Resurrection Sunday. And there's so many parallels that are going on at the same time. When Jesus Christ made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, they were bringing in the Passover lambs to slaughter. John the Baptist identified Jesus Christ as, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." So many parallels going on with the Jews at that time and with the Romans at that time and with what was going on with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we'll do five or six lessons coming up to Easter as well, so that we get the whole meaning of what was going on with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 2 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him.'" Underline that. Highlight it, whatever you want to do. The wise men came to worship him. They didn't come to worship Mary. Heaven help us. They didn't come to worship Mary. The wise men said, "We've come to worship him, the one born King of the Jews." You understand, he was put to death for being King of the Jews. Pontius Pilate put on his inscription, "King of the Jews." The Jews said, "Take it down. He's not our king. We only have Caesar as our king." But these wise men said, "No, we know. He's the king. He's the one that was sent forth." We can't really deal with the gifts without mentioning the wise men and understanding a little bit about what they were doing and why they came. They said, "We've seen his star in the east." And again, we'll talk about this in great detail next week. You know, depending on whose commentary you want to look at, a supernova that was created, certain stars and planets line up. I've read anything from the constellation Pisces, which represented Jerusalem, or the Jews, all the way to Leo, which I like a little better. That's the king. The line of the tribe of Judah. I believe it was a super light manifested by God. He did it in the Old Testament. There was a pillar of fire by night that they, when that pillar moved, they followed it. And they set up their camp wherever it went. It moved. We're going to see here in a minute that they seen his star and they followed over to it. They came to Jerusalem. There was a reason that they didn't go to Bethlehem. Jerusalem was the capital. They went to the palace. They show up with their entourage and all their gifts. And they said, "Where's the king? I know he was born somewhere else, but surely y'all have gotten him now and you have him in the palace. Is he in the east wing or in the west wing? Or where's he at? We've come to worship him." Herod said, "Oh no, we haven't brought him in yet, but if you guys will go tell us where he's at, then we'll come worship him too." I'll tell you that the wise men, when they left, they went a different way. Herod told them, he said, "Go and find him, and when you find him, come back and tell me where I can go worship him too." But I'll tell you what, the wise men saw our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be it a small child. They were changed, and they left there in a different direction. And I think all of us will do that once we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they came to worship him. Verse 3 says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." There was a problem. They said, "Where's the king at?" Herod said, "Man, listen, we can talk about Herod for a few minutes. He was one of the baddest men ever to walk the face of the earth. He was bad. Depending on how you look at it, maybe not near as bad as Nero, but bad. Killed his own family. He didn't want nobody getting the throne. We're going to see that he kills all the children, 2 years and younger, in Bethlehem and all the coasts around there. He didn't want anybody, any kind of king, doing any uprising. So he and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him." Verse 4 says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Now remember, Herod thought that he was the king of the Jews because he was in Judea. He was placed there by the Roman government. He was the king over the Jews. So he brought them together and said, "Hey, where's this? You're supposed to have this king born." Pretty well everybody understood or knew about it. He said, y'all come together, tell me where you're supposed to be born. Verse 5 says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people of Israel. Remember we read that out of Micah last week, where it talked about the strong of Judah coming through the tower of the flock? It just makes sense to me, Kurt. I don't know. It just makes more sense to me. But probably the most famous verse would be this one here quoted from Micah 2, where it says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. Verse 7 says, then when Herod had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now I can tell you that if we had windows, thank goodness we don't, or I'd lose all of y'all. Occasionally you would see a plane fly over. If you said, well, see that plane right there that's down in our atmosphere, Mary, 30,000 feet, is that okay? Right under there is where he's going to be. You think that wouldn't be difficult? I mean, you know, much less that it's moving, but if you said, see where that plane is right now? He's right under there. Go and try and find that. It says the star moved over until they saw it. I don't think it was way up in the atmosphere. I don't think it was a constellation. I don't think the moon and the stars all lined up right. I think God said, hey, here it is. Right over here, right down to here. Because they had to find a house in Bethlehem. And again, we'll talk about the star next week when we get into the wise men. I'll talk a lot about the wise men today because they're the guys that brought the gifts, okay? But it says that, verse 9 says, and when they had departed, or when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Amen? They knew where that star was taking them. And understand, when we read the Bible, I think even in Revelation, there's some passages where it says, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Last night, my wife and I were going home. We saw a shooting star. Does everybody know what a shooting star is? Stan does. It's some type of debris, meteorite, something entering into our atmosphere and burning up as it trails down. That is not a star. Our sun is a star. S-U-N is a star. That's not one of those falling down to earth. So when the Word says, and I saw a star fall from heaven, it's something with a tracer tail on it, some type of something burning up into our atmosphere. They said they saw the star. Hey, it's a shining light in the sky. It's either the sun, the moon, or star. They knew it wasn't the sun. They knew it wasn't the moon. Last choice, star, okay? So they said, when they saw it, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they come into the house, one word is real close to a lightning bug or lightning. One word. And they came into the house, they saw the young child. Not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And with Mary his mother, and hallelujah, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, One, two, three. They presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I got to studying and thought, man, okay, everybody pretty well gets the gold deal, right? Everybody understand what gold is? You understand our dollar is not valued on the gold anymore. You understand that? Okay. Everybody pretty well understands gold. You got some idea about frankincense and a little less about myrrh, right? Frankincense was from a tree. The Hebrew word was Lebanon. It meant incense or freely burning. It was the gum of a large pink flowering tree. It's kind of a white gum. It hardened very quickly, very aromatic when it burned. And it was used in the ceremonial offerings in the temple. Produces a white smoke when it burns. So it represented our prayers going up to God, this smoke that went up. So when they would go into the temple, they would burn this frankincense, again, this white smoke look, and it would give the illusion of our prayers going up to God, okay? So they gave him frankincense, and then myrrh was again from a small bushy tree, had a three-sectioned leaf on it, bears a plum-like fruit, and it produced a gum as well. But they used it for anointing oil, for perfume, for ceremonial cleansing. They used frankincense and myrrh in the medical field back then. They would mix it with some stuff. You could take some orally, or they would put it on as an oil or a salve. So it was a very precious thing. We bought my dad some eye drops yesterday. You know, the little eye drop deal? Said, the container's only half full, though. $84. What's in it? You know? Yeah, a lot of water, yeah. Well, not a lot of water, because it was just half full. But very costly. It wasn't grown in the Palestinian area. It was having to have to be shipped in. So it was very costly. But each of these gifts that were given had another layer to them. The gold was for his future reign, his royalty. When they brought gold to kings to acknowledge their royalty, they brought gold. That was the number one present that they would bring. They brought this gold for his future reign because he was born king of the Jews. The frankincense was for his priestly intercession. Again, frankincense was burned in the temple as part of the incense offering. The priest would perform that. So they brought that to him because he was going to be our intercessor, our priest. The myrrh was probably the strangest gift to give to a new child. The myrrh was used not as an embalming fluid, but put on the garments that they put on the dead just to keep the odor down. So they brought this young child myrrh for his sacrificial death. Again, all these picture of what they presented to him. And again, we can speculate based on just what we read. We have no more graphic detail than that. We have some stuff in the Old Testament that tells us a little bit more about the Magi. We'll talk about them next week in what some of the Old Testament scriptures tell us. But, excuse me, look if you will in Exodus chapter 30. This is God telling Moses here as they prepare the worshiping procedures for the temple and the worshiping that they were to do. He says in chapter 30 and verse 34, he says, "The incense, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, state and ancha and galbum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. Again, anytime you read the Scriptures, you don't have Christ in the back of your mind, have Him in the front of your mind. He says, it will be most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Jesus Christ was holy to the Lord. He had to be in every essence of the word because He was the perfect sacrifice. Look back up in verse 22. He says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half as much, even 250 shekels of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassava, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table of his vessels, and the candlestick in his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, and with all his vessels, and the labor, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me the priest's office. Here they had to have this in order to do the things that the priest would do. You understand that Jesus Christ became our priest. He was the priest king. His dying and resurrection and ascension made it to where we're our own priest now. We can now go into the Holy of Holies. We can lay our petitions before the throne of God. We prayed this morning for loved ones and church members here. And God heard us. We stood before the throne with our advocate, Jesus Christ. Just as the Old Testament priests used to do, we're now doing. We don't have the pomegranates and the bells on our robes. We don't need those. We can now enter in ourselves. Look with me back over in Matthew. So you have the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, the three gifts. There's different legends, and again, we can get into these next week, but there's legends that the wise men represented the three races of people, being Shem, Ham, and Japheth, starting out. There's also one tradition that has them each named. Wherever they got the names at, I'm not sure. But they have their names. Another has one being youthful, one being middle-aged, and one being very old, given the stages of life. But F.W. Borum wrote a story, and his story went something like this. He felt like one of the wise men thought that the world needed a king that would bring all the worlds together and everybody would be able to get along. So he brought gold fit for the king. The next wise man came and said, no, what the world needs is a priest. Because we have a very distorted idea of God. So God came down to show us what God was really like. So He brought the frankincense for the priestly king, or for the priest. The third one said, no, I think what the world needs is a Savior. This dying and lost world that we live in is in need of a Savior, a sacrifice for us, fitting to God, and He brought the myrrh. They showed up at the house. There was Mary with the young child, and Mary began to sing her song. Y'all remember Mary's song? My soul doth magnify the Lord. God, my Savior. When she sang that song, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. The one king said, there He is. That's the King. That's my King. And he presented Him the gold. As she sang, she said, in God. He said, there's my priest right there. He gave the frankincense. And then she said, in my Savior. And the last one said, here's the myrrh. He is my Savior. He was one in all. He was King, Priest, and Savior. When I was doing the lesson on the gifts, I really got caught up in what the gifts were. You understand, we've given ourselves license to have this holiday time. You know, there's so many that give to get. Well, I'll do this so that, you know, you call some, hey, are y'all getting us anything? Because we don't want to show up and not have, come on. Yeah. Hey, don't get us anything this year because we didn't get you anything, right? I mean, we've gotten around to that. And I'm so thankful that there's times that we can just give because, man, we just feel like giving. You know, we want to give. What we've got to remember that God gave first. God gave His Son. He sent His Son into this world to live a sinless life, die the perfect sacrifice, have victory over death in the grave, raise again. God Himself gave a lost and undeserving world its greatest gift because of the greatest need. He gave it. He revealed the greatest love and had the greatest scope and purpose of any gift that could ever be conceived in the heart of the Creator. Remember that God gave first. In Genesis, God gave us the sun, moon, and stars for light. He gave us the rain. In Revelation, He says when He comes again, He's going to give each man according to his works. But in the middle of that, God gave. God gave the most. He gave His Son. Share that over this time. Man, before we get to the gifts, I know at Thanksgiving, you know, we would rather stop and say, hey, before we partake in this food, let's remember what we're here for. And that's to give thanks. Not to America, not to our soldiers, God bless them, but to God who gives us everything. So this time of year, when we give the gifts, let's remember who gave first and who gave the ultimate gift. And remember, as you're talking to someone, it's only a gift when it's received. God presents it. It's His present to us, but we've got to take it to receive His gift. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for the time we could spend in Your Word. Father, I pray for the message to follow with Brother Crawford. Lord, You'd give him the words to say. And Lord, again, just touch our hearts. Lord, help us to, Lord, not just quote the slogan of the reason for the season, but to understand that the gift is Jesus Christ and You gave that gift. Father, I pray that You just burden our hearts, Lord, that in this coming year that You would put someone on our heart, Lord, that that we would be able to present the gospel to, Lord, that if we just reach one, Father, that Lord, we've done more than we've done in the past year. And again, Lord, thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.